think Mr. Baker can handle it today, if you want to tell him to go ahead and keep on.
You want to start?
I'll start.
I guess it's the administrator's report.
This is a copy of one of the issues that we faced with legislative update is paramedic funding in Sussex County. And the Sussex County Associations of Towns asked for an update on this last week. So we, Mr. Guy and Ms. Gina Jennings helped put this together. And as basically, I thought I'd just run through it. The first slide shows paramedic funding in the county, which has the state side has dropped, as you can see, because they've changed their percentages of funding. Currently, the state, our budget includes $3.6 million this year from the state for a 30% share of funding for the program. The county itself is funding separately $8.7 million. In 2008 and 2009, the state funded over $5 million. So just this year's budget alone, there was a decrease in state funding of $1.2 million for the paramedic service in Sussex County. And the reason for that is if you go to the next page, you can see that the percentage share in state funding has dropped from 40% to 30% in this year's budget. And in fact, in 1990, when the program started, the state funded 60%, and now they fund it at 30%. At the same time, as we are aware, our calls are up from 14,000 EMS calls in 5 years ago to almost 18,000 in 2009. Basically, our calls are up 26% over 5 years. And if you, of course, the numbers are even more dramatic if you go back previously. The county paramedic office has added units, as you are aware, over the years to address the paramedic call needs. State of Delaware contributions have decreased, as we talked about, and then that cut has cost us $1.2 million this year. And if further reductions in the funding would mean basically mean cuts in service. If you look at page six of the slides here, first of all, reducing the funding by the state of Delaware, for instance, if they cut it all together, reducing 35% of the funding, when we 86% of EMS costs are related to personnel, would definitely mean we would have to look at our staffing. Mr. Bob Stewart, our director, estimated that it could end up meaning a loss of two paramedic units, basically 25% of our active paramedic units, which would mean slower response times, changes in the various medical technologies that we use, such as the automatic CPR machines and some of the other items that we have initiated, that our paramedic department has initiated. So we wanted to give you that report. At this, basically, the funding for the paramedic program is part of the grant and aid bill. The grant and aid bill is actually not recommended by the governor. It is developed by the Joint Finance Committee. The governor's budget includes, I believe it's $41 million for grant and aid. He recommends a total amount, and then it's up to the Joint Finance Committee to determine how that money is allocated. My understanding is that many agencies that were funded in the operating budget in the past have been asked to send their request to be part of the grant and aid bill. So there will be more competition for that grant and aid funding. So I wanted to bring this as one of the legislative concerns. And I know there's some other ways of realty transfer tax, of course, is another item, and that affects we use realty transfer tax to fund public safety and to fund the paramedic program in Sussex County. At this point in time, our public safety expenses exceed the amount of realty transfer tax that we receive, and that Part of that reason, of course, is because of the economy. And that is one of our concerns, that another one of our concerns, given that it has made our budget particularly difficult. So.
Yeah. On this issue, I am the vice president of the Tri-County Association, as you probably know. I took it upon myself in conjunction with Gina Jennings in the accounting department to put a letter together that will go out to all the other Tri-County Association members, in essence, the levy court members and the Newcastle County councilmen and women, as well as the administration, pointing out that not only is that real estate transfer tax going down very quickly and our paramedic costs are going up, over the years we have used real estate transfer tax for other public safety expenses, such as the fire companies, the local law enforcement, and our state police funding. Right now, we're actually at a deficit. Our real estate transfer tax is not covering the cost of public safety expenses. In fact, in the 2010 budget, we're going to be about in a $2 million deficit. In addition, the state continues to shift costs for other services to us, such as dog control. We also, out of that real estate transfer tax, are shifting money to, for instance, the Sussex Conservation Service. When you add all this up, there's a huge deficit that is occurring, and it probably will continue to occur. I am suggesting in this letter that the state consider reformulating the paramedic funding, as opposed to us paying 70% and then 30%. For equity purposes, a 50-50 split is more fair, or the possibility of changing the formula for the real estate transfer tax. Right now it's 50-50 to allow us to pay for all the expenses grouped in the public safety, as well as some of these other state responsible expenses. A 70-30 split on the real estate transfer tax would be equitable, 70% coming to the county, 30% to the state. This is going to the Tri-County members and will be discussed at our next Tri-County meeting. And the letter is in your packets as a courtesy to you. Is there anything else on this issue?
No, I think.
Mr. Godwin, have you got anything else for us?
Mr. President, members of council, I have a legislative report ready for you to bring you up to date as to the legislation that is hanging over from last year, which is still part of the 145th General Assembly. And I also will bring you up to date on some new legislation that either has been introduced this year or will be introduced. First, I have a list of bills that we worked on last year, and they are House Bill 26, which has taken a change in nature. The last day of the session in June, there was an amendment added to this bill in the Senate. The bill has passed the House with one small amendment that didn't have a lot of impact on the bill, but the amendment that was added in the Senate and has yet to be voted on does have a tremendous impact on this bill. House Bill 26 is a bill that sounded friendly in the beginning. It was going to allow us to recategorize almost all of the liens that our government deals with in the course of business in the same category as a tax lien, which would give us the ability to collect those liens quickly. In the Senate, the amendment that was added to it puts a floor. It says that we can't execute any of those liens until they come to $10,000 as a minimum debt, which means that if someone owes us $8,000 or $9,000, we can't move forward as a tax lien. So the amendment is not friendly. This was pointed out to us by Terry Jaywork, who is an attorney for many towns in this county. And I reviewed this with our legal counsel, Mr. Moore, and he agrees that we should oppose this legislation if it has the amendment on it. So I wanted to recommend that for you for your consideration. And Mr. Moore could explain it to you in more detail if you'd like. But basically, the amendment in the Senate makes this bill pretty much null and void until a debtor accumulates a $10,000 debt. Many of the accounts that we execute in court, I should warn you, are significantly below $10,000.
And could you share with us maybe why they
Was there a concern that they had?
The primary sponsor, Senator Harris McDowell, is the only sponsor of this amendment. And I haven't spoken with him. I've put in several calls. He hasn't returned my calls yet. I'm probably going to go to his office. I can only suspect that it has something to do with his district in Wilmington and perhaps his constituency. While he was a primary sponsor of the bill originally,
right.
For him to sponsor an amendment that seems to be so detrimental to the bill is very confusing for me. So I really wouldn't want to speak for the senator until I had a chance to speak with him.
Right. So you're not really sure then why?
I'm not sure why he added the amendment. It certainly changes the nature of the entire piece of legislation.
Yes, so Mr. President, if I may.
Yes.
The one advantage of the way the bill was originally passed and our tax lien bill, it gives us automatic priority over all other liens. So if you bring a suit for a tax lien and there's a mortgage on that property, the bank gets notified. Obviously, the bank does not want the tax lien to go ahead of their mortgage. So oftentimes, you know, the lender might pay that lien in order to preserve their property, keep it from going to sale. This would allow other liens to have that same effect. Now he's come in with an amendment that takes that away, that hammer that the county has, up to a level of $10,000. So I don't know if it was possibly banking interests that was looking at this or not, as Mr. Godwin indicated.
Not the cost, maybe the cost of going after lien. I mean, does it cost just as much to go after a small lien as it does to go after a large lien?
Yes, because so the process is still the same.
Same, so it's not really a cost issue, you
right.
would think?
No.
Okay.
Mr. President,
yes, Mr. Bates.
Maybe I could give an example. We have had some properties that we've actually been asked to take to tax sale because they may be an unusual slice of land or a small lot that really it's not help. The taxes are not paid on. The taxes may be very low because it's really a relatively invaluable piece of property, and perhaps it might be. It just makes sense to try to sell it and get maybe a neighbor might buy it through the tax sale. You can't locate the owners, or there's situations like that that come about where tax sales make a lot of sense, not so much for the income to the county, but at least to get the property.
Brings it to some kind of conclusion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, where the property just kind of sits out there unkept and. And very often those amounts are less than $10,000.
Yeah.
So what I would like, if we could, would be, as I go through these bills, is if you can give me an opinion for me to carry back to the legislative hall in Dover. So far, I have been working against the amendment. We've had a relatively neutral position on the bill itself all through last year while they were in session.
Well, I'll make a statement that I believe we have a consensus that you are on the right track on this bill. If anybody else wants to speak up to the negative, please do. I would say we have a consensus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll do some more work on the amendment, and I'll pursue having the amendment either defeated or removed from the bill.
Okay.
I asked you why you'd like to change it.
Yeah, I'm going to. As soon as I get a hold of the senator, I'm going to ask him that question, of course. Okay, and if he gives me whatever answer he gives me, I'll certainly report back to you as to what his motivation is. It does seem odd that he's the only sponsor of the amendment. So it must be something.
Well, if it's a frivolous reason, don't worry about it. But if it right. does merit some conversation, bring it back.
I will. Okay. The second bill that we were watching last year, which didn't go very far, it has gone through the. It's a House bill, House Bill 65. It went through a committee and has been placed on the House ready list, and it just sat there idle. House Bill 65 would increase the size of this legislative body from 5 to 7 members. Last year, there was a lot of discussion about this, and we were opposing it because of the cost, only because of the cost, because it would add a considerable cost to the county. I believe it was somewhere in the vicinity of $248,000 the first year, and $130,000 every year thereafter in operating costs. But that was the only reason why you opposed it.
I don't believe there's been anything that changed on that.
I still think we ought to do it.
You think we ought to?
You said
well,
that.
I don't know about those figures. With the salaries we get, I don't know how we get up to $250-some thousand on cost to just add 2 more members. If it's just salary, you're looking around $50,000, and then there's no more additional secretarial staff needed.
I think it was office space was the
office space. Pieces of office space still don't mean anything.
I didn't realize this was going to be discussed today, so I don't. But I believe the biggest cost was size of salary and benefit was retrofitting
with
space.
This person, these people would be at large people.
Right.
That's where that's how the bill, House Bill 65 does claim those.
That would increase the cost of going all over the county.
Well, that's not a county cost.
Well, yes, it is.
You mean when you're running for election?
No, not running for election. In your job. In your job. You're expected to go to Nanticoke area. You expect to go to Lewiston. You expect to be everywhere in the county. You're at large. So that should be accounted for as well.
Well, still, I think the $250,000 is
I think,
not
George,
realistic.
We voted 4-1 against that, and I think that should.
Pardon me?
We voted 4-1 against that.
I'm just giving my opinion. That's all right. I think
we should take another vote before we give George send him anything different than that.
No, I'm just following up. The last council majority supported it, and all of a sudden we've just dropped
this
it.
This council voted 4-1 against it.
I understand.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not pushing. I just want to put my 2 cents worth in. Right. Something like you do, Sam, once in a while.
I'll put it down. George.
Is it okay to put my 2 cents worth in? Mr. President, please maintain order here.
Okay. Continue, Mr. Godwin. I don't believe there's any
I'll maintain the same position on that House bill. The next one is House Bill 95. This bill was introduced in the House, and it didn't go very far. As a matter of fact, I remember reporting to you in May that I felt the bill had stalled. House Bill 95 would adopt into state code the Humane Society standards in relationship to commercial puppy mills or puppy factories, if you will, where someone's breeding a large number of puppies for a commercial business. This is a very lengthy bill. It has a number of components in it, but basically it's been placed in the House Agricultural Committee. It has one very passionate sponsor in the House in Representative George. That's her middle name, Marshall.
Marshall.
Melanie George Marshall is the primary sponsor. And I would expect her to come back and try to move this bill again some this year.
Our position last year?
Our position last year was a definite no. We opposed it.
Would this?
Still no.
We would be the enforcers of this?
Well,
it doesn't say that.
It wasn't clear. It wasn't clear. But since we're now the puppy marshals, it would seem that that might be our responsibility to enforce those laws. So we were opposing it last year.
Still the same thing.
Doesn't seem like anyone feels that should
okay.
change.
As long, yeah, I mean, I don't care if the state wants to enforce it, but at the county, I don't think we need to be supportive if it's going to be a county,
right?
You know, responsibility.
That's what we were thinking of last year.
That would be the reason I would think that we would not support it.
Right, more cost. House Bill 106 is the next one that I was watching last year. This would transfer the responsibility for recommending open space funds from the Delaware Open Space Council to the Parks and Recreation Council. We discussed this at length. It seemed like a logical move, and we didn't oppose it. It would simply change monies that are coming through the state as they're recommended for parks and open space. They would no longer go through the Delaware Open Space Council, but rather go right to the Parks and Recreation Council. Sort of it seemed like a logistical housekeeping thing in the state, and that was the position we took on it last year.
Are those councils under separate cabinet secretaries?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, there could be some concern about transferring it from what I thought was kind of an independent body, Delaware Open Space Council, to more of a DENREC governed
right.
body. Concerned about that too. Excuse me, Mr. President.
Why don't you look into that and bring it up next week?
Yes, sir. We'll do. House Bill 209, we didn't have any problem with this. We discussed it at length. This bill would require that in order for anyone, myself or Mr. Maxwell or Mr. Baker, to introduce legislation in the Delaware General Assembly, if it was coming from this body, you would have to give written approval that I'm your agent, Mr. Maxwell is your agent, or whoever is taking this bill to the General Assembly. It came at the end of the session last year, and I think it was aimed at there was some legislation in the House that was introduced by a private business trying to change the charter of a town. I think this bill was to make sure that if I'm portraying your position, representing you in the legislature, I simply have a note from home saying, yes, you authorized me to do this.
From the principal.
Exactly. A note from your mom, yes, she said I can do this. Okay.
You might need that.
I might.
Yeah.
But we didn't oppose it last year because it didn't seem to create any problems for us. The last bill that I was watching last year that's still on the docket is a Senate bill, 132. This bill would require any land use ordinance that you were to adopt, before you could adopt it, it would have to go through the Delaware State Planning Office, Connie Holland's office. We were opposed to this. We felt that it was an infringement on your local authority, and also the director of state planning didn't support it last year. I haven't talked with Connie about it this year, but Sheerlin didn't have the staff to do this. She did tell me that some jurisdictions had been voluntarily sending her some land use ordinances just for her opinion, but it wasn't really a binding approval process. And she tries to do those.
So they would look at it, but they have no.
Well, it says the law simply says that it would require a review of the state planning office.
So what's the harm? I don't see the harm.
Well,
they don't have the staff.
Yeah, they don't have the staff. It would slow your process down. If you had an ordinance, let's suppose you're working on an ordinance from the comprehensive plan. Before you can vote on it, it's got to go to state planning office and come back. That would add some time, and I know sometimes time is an issue.
They're saying that they can't handle it, but I do believe in governments working together.
Well, I can tell you that they do attend our hearings, and Brian Hall generally knows about all of our ordinances as we're working on them anyway. I mean, so we had been opposing this because of the reasons I had mentioned earlier.
Takes authority away from the local government more all the time.
Right. That's exactly what you thought last year. Okay. There's two bills that have been introduced since they started session in January of this year. The first one is House Bill 300. It has passed the House. It's over in the Senate committee. This one will add something else to the Freedom of Information Act, and that addition would be that if a person were to come to us and file a FOIA request and want certain pieces of information, we would have to respond to them within 10 days. Didn't say provide the information, it says respond.
Oh.
We either provide them with the information they've asked for, or we tell them why we can't get it to them within 10 days. It's records that have been archived somewhere, we're going to have to spend some time. It's a large volume of documents that'll take several days to assemble from different files. We can give them a valid reason for the extension, but we have to answer the request within 10 days. Either here's your document, or we'll have them for you in 3 more days, or we'll have them for you in 2 more weeks. It would apply to everybody that comes under FOIA, which is all local governments.
Okay.
Question would be, what's the definition of reasonable? Such additional time provided for this subsection shall be reasonable. And says, you know, we can tell them 10 days, but it's going to take us a while to find it. Can it take 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? I mean,
I would suppose that reasonable is to be determined.
It would be, excuse me, Mr. President, it would be determined on a case-by-case method or basis, and we'd need to look at it.
We've by
had,
who?
By the person that would be reviewing the documents. For example, since I've been legal counsel, we've had requests that involved voluminous amount of work, and of course we need to talk to all the different agencies in the county in order to get it. Many of them come in, you can respond to right away, there's no problem. But there's some, and I think the statute says that within that 10 days you send them a letter stating, here's all the departments that we would have to respond to, and we have to go out. And I think that if this did pass, you know, after, you know, maybe a month's time, we didn't have it, we would just do a follow-up letter.
Okay, I'm just curious that it just seems like it's leaving us kind of out there hanging.
It does. It
kind of a gray area, you know what?
It does. And
the complainant says, hey, you've been a month. Well, how long has it taken?
And
then if he makes that complaint, where is there some other higher authority that says you've been unreasonable?
Attorney General.
And what gets scary
Attorney General's opinions.
They're going to determine what reasonable is later on.
Well, I'm just wondering if we should respond to this bill as saying, could it be a little more clear in
in that last portion where it says additional time in the subject and shall be reasonable.
Yeah, it's very difficult to put a time limit on it just because some that I have seen have been just so voluminous. Some, you know, we respond that, you know, this is
beyond
the
scope. Maybe there should be, like you said, a process after 30 days, another follow-up letter, another 60 days or whatever. I don't know, just to tell people we are making, because somebody could, we could stonewall them and be doing nothing, right? So I don't know. I'm just a little worried that it seems not real clear, Mr. Godwin. I don't know if anybody else is concerned, but.
Yes.
Any other comments on this one? Maybe a little clarity on that, Mr. Godwin.
I will.
There's a consensus. Think that's a little.
There will be a hearing on this, and I'll raise that question. We need some clarity on the reasonable part of it.
And use an example, you know, Mr. Moore just said that every department, you know, could be, and who knows how long that could take.
Well, the problem would be that the Attorney General may come back after the fact and claim that we violated the law because we went beyond reasonable. And how did you determine reasonable? I understand.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, I think it opens up a situation where somebody could really be a pain, even though we're trying to do our best.
I know.
But government moves slow sometimes.
Sometimes. Another bill that's been introduced is House Bill 308. This one also has passed the House. It's in a committee in the Senate. And this one would allow the county administrator to appoint dog constables. With our new responsibilities in dog law enforcement, it seems reasonable that this body and administrator should be able to appoint who will carry out those laws in this county.
I motion that George is in charge of that.
I got a few individuals that would be perfect for it. Some of my intimate friends.
Mr. Baker, what do you envision as far as the management of that section of our county responsibility? Do we have staff that can play a dual role? Is Mr. Alan Holloway capable of handling it all?
At this point in time, I don't think our current staff could handle that entire function, but perhaps we may run into certain circumstances where we may ask our constables department to help with a particular issue. Right now, of course, as you're aware, we contracted with the SPCA to provide the dog control function that we are now responsible for.
So as SPCA has this contract, do we need a dog constable, or are they fully capable of
this bill means we do.
As I understand it,
we're allowed to, but not necessarily have to.
As I understand it, this was actually proposed by DENREC, and they indicated that the original legislation, there was a loophole in the original legislation that passed last January or whenever it was, that transferred responsibility over to the counties, mm-hmm. and they felt they needed this so that the counties would have authority even to appoint the SPCAs as the official dog control agents to handle the responsibility.
David, or Everett, can we ask the people we've contracted with, the SPCA, right? Can we get some of their people to become constables, and we just basically sub it out to them,
that's what this bill would do. Okay. Give us the
So we wouldn't have to hire new employees. We could make it part of their contract, maybe in the future.
This sounds like house cleaning.
Yes,
it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, one bill that has not yet been introduced. I've given the rough copy to two representatives in the state house, asking them to introduce it. This bill that is yet to be introduced was really recommended by our legal counsel, Mr. Vince Robertson, in trying to provide more efficient authority to require someone to connect to county sewer. In the past, if a person has not connected to sewer as required by law, much time lapses, and if we attempt to require this through the courts, we have to go to the Court of Chancery. That can be another lengthy process and more inexpensive. This new bill would allow us to execute that kind of enforcement through the Court of Chancery as we do, but also we'd have the option of using the Justice of the Peace Court, which is generally faster and would cost us less money. The synopsis of this bill simply says this legislation enables Sussex County to proceed in either justice of the peace court or the court of chancery to compel connection of a property to an existing county sanitary sewer district.
They still have a year, right, to hook up?
Yes.
But this is after the year?
Yeah, this is generally long after.
2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
Before, okay.
Yes.
But during that time period, we've been collecting from them or not?
In most cases, yes.
Some, okay, some not. Okay.
In most cases, don't, after the court starts anyhow with JP, so I don't know why we're not doing it.
The only court in the state of Delaware that has injunctive powers is Court of Chancery. And basically, this is a mandatory injunction. You're making someone do something. So the only course available to the county has been to go into the Court of Chancery. Court of Chancery is a very long process. It's the court that you hear many of the corporate matters, the big trials that come to town. It's very long to get hearings on this. So it was an attempt to maybe get to a court that would be easier to deal with and quicker. Okay. But it would be granting new jurisdiction to the court.
Mm-hmm. How does the court enforce this?
That's, to be honest with you, even Court of Chancery, courts tend to not like mandatory injunctions. They prefer injunctions that say, stop, you're not allowed to do something,
mm-hmm.
because that's easier to enforce than saying, well, we're demanding you do something.
Right. And if
so there's an tendency, not that you would be in violation of a court order, you'd be in contempt of court, so the county then could bring additional actions against them. But, you know, that would be part of the hearing process on this bill to see what's the next step still. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I went through with Vince Robertson last year to have a few properties owned by the same person that had not connected.
Mm-hmm.
And the process was that we filed the complaint with the Court of Chancery. It took several weeks to get in there. Then we got there, and the judge then heard from the property owner who said, oh, I'm going to do this. I just need a little more time. It already had 2 years. The judge gave him 30 more days. In 30 days, we went back to court again, and the judge then required him to connect. He didn't connect, again, still didn't connect, so we then had the authority to have the connection made and then put a lien against the property for what we spent to have it connected.
Oh.
So we had to actually go through all of that to get the property connected to the sanitary sewer, when in fact it had been available on that street for a long time.
So we hire a plumber and get the lines.
Yes, we did.
Put in.
Yes, and then we put the lien against the property.
Interesting.
Okay, so I would presume that bill that we have not had introduced yet is an affirmative. You'd like us to continue working on that one?
Yep.
Okay, that's all I have at this point in time. And as you know, as we go through the legislative session, it gets busier the later we get. So I will keep you apprised of what's going on in Dover to the best of my ability.
Any questions for Mr. Godwin? Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Lawrence Lang.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
We have two items of old business this morning. First one on the agenda is Cheryl Normando. It's conditional use number 1800.